Yes, what's on your mind? If you want to get through to us via social media, you can. You can email nightshift@triplem.com.au. You can tweet us at @MMMNightshift. And Facebook is The Night Shift on Triple M. But we are a radio talk program. The lines are now open. Give Jess something to do. Mind you, Jess, you earned your keep this week with the full moon. The calls that went to air were the best of the best. The ones that didn't quite get past the goalkeeper or the gatekeeper. It was a very interesting week, wasn't it, Jess? Hello, how are you? Happy Friday.
Happy Friday. I love a full moon week. I hope to get more of it today, to be honest.
Well, it's still a pretty big moon. And when I was driving to work, it was bright orange. It looked unbelievable. I've never seen anything like it. So there are some people out there, I'm sure, affected. Give us a call. 133353 is the telephone number. Let's have a chat. Now, are you, like me, sick and tired of governments telling you what to do, how to live your life, what to eat, what to drink, what not to eat, what not to drink? Or do we need governments to save us from ourselves? Let me tell you what they've done in the UK. And I'm asking you, should we do this here in Australia? In an unprecedented move by the UK government, energy drinks like Red Bull and Monster, I don't know what Monster is, I know what Red Bull is, these energy drinks will be banned from sale to children under the age of 16. Yep, the UK government has moved to ban the sale of energy drinks to all children under the age of 16 following years of lobbying by advocacy groups and celebrities alike. The British Health Secretary is Matt Hancock, who has announced the age limit ban on beverages high in caffeine and sugar, such as Monster, Red Bull and LucasAid. A letter written by Mr. Hancock to his fellow cabinet ministers revealed his plans to act on the energy drink crisis, is what he's called it. Following a high level of interest in the consultation, we plan on announcing that we will be ending the sale of energy drinks to children under the age of 16, he wrote. He claimed he was taking a precautionary approach to mitigate the potential negative effects associated with their excessive consumption by children. If you're going to go down this path, Mr. Hancock, and I fully understand where you're coming from. You see, we mere mortals can't make decisions for ourselves. Parents, obviously, are dreadful, dreadful people if they allow their children to drink these high-caffeine drinks. Or maybe the kids are buying them without mum and dad knowing. So therefore, they're going to put an age limit of 16 on it. What about parents, Jess, who give their kids red cordial at birthday parties? Red cordial at birthday parties. Sugar. Should that be banned? Should they have birthday party police? What about the high amounts of sugar in cupcakes, Jess? Or birthday cake, the preservatives in tomato sauce.
But the difference with the drinks is the other stuff that's in them that really speeds your heart rate up.
Exactly.
But if so, the sugar is really bad on its own. It's a chemical. And I think it's poison, to be honest.
Okay.
But
okay.
So the energy drinks.
The energy drinks is one thing. We're worried about people's health. I get that. But should we take it a step further? Should fast food, should KFC, McDonald's, Hungry Jack's be banned?
It doesn't need to be banned. I think you just have to moderate it. And, you know, that's a parent's responsibility, isn't it?
No. We need government.
Come on.
We need government to stop us from hurting ourselves.
You know, with the energy drinks, I actually have a friend overseas. And when we were still at uni, a classmate of hers actually died of a heart attack from consuming two Red Bulls while he was studying.
Died of a heart attack?
Yeah.
Serious?
There's a warning. I don't know if it's still there, but when I was younger and I used to drink them, I haven't in a very long time. But I remember there used to be a warning on Red Bull cans saying not to have more than two. So, I mean, if there's a warning, do we need them at all? Isn't caffeine on its own enough? Isn't a coffee okay?
Well, there's warnings on cigarette packets too. People still smoke. So if we are going to follow the UK's lead on this and ban energy drinks like Red Bull and Monster, I don't even know what Monster is, but it's a high caffeine drink. Do we ban everything else that could be bad for you at 16? high sugar drinks, fast food high in fat. What do you say? Where do we stop? Because we, obviously, are not qualified as parents to look after our kids. 133353 is the telephone number. There was Jamie Oliver, who's jumped into all of this in an interview on Good Morning Britain. He revealed a study he conducted through his company that found 13% of UK kids were consuming 14 shots of caffeine in energy drinks a day. It's an entire litre of caffeine crammed liquid. But anyway, do you stop at caffeine? What about fast food? What about high sugar drinks? Red cordial at birthday parties. Get the birthday party police out and let's monitor what our kids are eating and drinking. 133353 is the telephone number. During the week, we talked about the pressure on the government to increase Newstart. Now, the pressure was coming from the Council on the Aging. And they already have successfully campaigned for a reduction in deeming rates. But Newstart very much in their sights. Well, this has gone up a step. Former leader of the National Party, Barnaby Joyce, who I believe will be leader again sooner rather than later, because the bloke who took over from him, Michael McCormack, is an absolute nuff. Barnaby Joyce has said, and he's weighed into this, he believes that there should be a $75 a week increase in Newstart, particularly for people who are over 50. It's common knowledge. It's fact. It is fact that once you get to 40, if you are unemployed, it is very, very difficult to get back into the workplace. So instead of, say, people 40 or up, no, we'll go to 50. If you are at 50 and you're out of work, chances are you're going to stay out of work. Unfortunately, that's the statistics. I'm not happy about it. I think people who are 50 and over have a lot to offer. Years of experience, a work ethic. You're not going to get your pension for another 30 years, the way it's going. If you are indeed in a lot of hardship, in some cases you can access your super, but then you're eating away at your savings and eventually you're going to be drawing the pension. Now, if you increase Workstart or Newstart and say $75 a week more for people who are on Newstart at over 50 years of age, could you then possibly be helping these people? People of this age, maybe they're volunteering. And if they're able to live a little more comfortably, what wouldn't that money that they're getting, they'll put that back into the economy, but they will also hopefully be more productive. Maybe they're volunteering at Meals on Wheels or at a charity hop shop or whatever. Barnaby Joyce has weighed into this, and I think there is a lot more pressure now on the government to look at this. Josh Frydenberg at the beginning of the week said absolutely no way. He was on 7:30 and he said, no, we're not changing Newstart. And the reason why is Newstart recipients, 99% of them receive other benefits. But what if you are 40 and above? Chances of you getting back into the workforce are very, very slim. Now, mind you, that leads me to another topic of conversation. Are you 40 plus and have you been able to start again? Did you lose your job and then were you able to reinvent yourself and get back into the workforce? Maybe you've got some good advice for people listening in. People, as they approach 50, get very, very nervous. A lot of employers like to employ younger people. They're cheaper. But are they better? 133353 is the telephone number. I'd love to hear your story. You can phone through right now. I was talking to Stephen Senatiempo before midnight. For those who don't take Stephen's show, it's Australia by Night, and he goes right around the country on the Triple M network. And we were talking about this. I don't have a beard. I can't grow a beard. I've got too many bald spots around my face. But a lot of men do like beards. And I'd like to talk to women this morning. Are you a beard person? Jess, have you ever dated a bloke with a beard? Or would you? Or would a beard turn you off?
Well, sometimes I've dated people and they just grow them and then get rid of them. They come and go.
Do you like a beard or not?
I don't mind.
Yeah.
How big are we talking? How long?
Well, the trend now with the hipsters, it's sort of a Ned Kelly thing, isn't it?
I feel like it's just... No, I think that's just a few people. You mean the really long ones?
Well, I don't know. The reason I'm talking about this is there's another study. You know how there's a study on everything, Jess?
Yeah, I'd love to see who's actually doing these studies.
I'd like... Yes, we should do a study.
On who's funding the studies?
On who's doing the studies. There should be a study into that, don't you reckon? Anyway, beards might be totally in because of the hipsters, but they apparently are also dirty and hazardous to human health. Scientists have discovered men with beards have more germs in their hairs than dogs carry in their fur. It's a study. And what's more, I read it in the Daily Mail, so it must be true. A new study has found that every sample of beard hair collected was crawling with bacteria. Nearly half had bugs and bacteria considered hazardous to human health. The dogs tested had lower levels of microbes and bacterium that causes disease. Jess, dogs are cleaner than men with beards, according to this study. KUTV News did not commission or participate in the study and could not verify its results or findings. Really? Scientists initially wanted to determine if humans could pick up a dog-borne disease from an MRI scan that was also used for examinations by veterinarians. Researchers took swabs from beards of 18 men aged 18 to 76, and they also took swabs from the necks of 30 dogs. The results showed that all of the bearded men had high amounts of microbial counts. Only 23 of the 30 dogs had high counts, and the remainder had moderate levels. 7 men even had harbor microbes that posed a threat to their health. Ladies, do you like a man with a beard, and have you changed your mind now? What is it about beards? 133353. Blokes who have beards, give us a call. Why do you have a beard? Is it just because it's easier to just not shave? I would have thought a well-kept beard would be more work than shaving. Anyway, there you go. Men with beards, stand up. 133353 is the telephone number. Look, there's plenty of other stuff I want to get to this morning. A reminder that the Man Cave... We open the doors to the Man Cave at 2 o'clock. Simon Stevenson will be joining me, home improvement expert, barbecue king. Adam McDonald, the king of What's That Worth, auctioneer at Lawson's. He's the star of one of the stars of the TV show Aussie Pickers. If you need something valued, he's the man for you. I'm going to ask Adam this morning, what is the go with the Coles little things and will they be worth something in 20 or 30 years? I don't get it. I honestly don't get the Coles little thing. I think I talked about this last night, but plenty of you do. Are they worth keeping? Will they be worth anything? Because there's been a lot of criticism aimed at Coles because the little things are non-recyclable plastic, and yet Coles are waving their banner and saying, look at us, how good are we? We've saved the world with the plastic bag thing. Anyway, 133353, do you collect something? What is it you collect? And do you know what it's worth? Give us a call and let us know. Plenty of other stuff to talk about. God knows what's up Jess's sleeve. And I have no idea what's around the corner with you, Mob. Surprise me. Jess, is it the last chance before the lunar landing 50-year anniversary, which is tomorrow for us, but the real anniversary is Sunday, where it's the 20th of July in the United States. What about more conspiracy theories, Jess? Do we dare?
Bring it on. I love them.
Do you really?
Oh, yeah. I do.
Do you? All right.
I'll hear anyone out.
Okay. All right. Let's see what she lets go to air. 133353 is the telephone number. I'll give you the national weather rant in just a little while, but I want to hear from you. It's Friday. It's Long Neck Friday. This is the night shift around Australia on the Triple M network. That is Queen here on the night shift. Jess, I am seriously I'm seriously out of sorts this morning and I'm going to need some counselling. During my opening rant, my headphones cracked up and I'm wearing another pair of headphones this morning. And my headphones, those ones over there that are going to need fixing, I've had them for 30 years. I'm not kidding. In fact, when the technical people look at my headphones, they go, "What? The black and silver AKGs? Where'd you get them from?" And I tell them very proudly, "I've had them for a long time. I look after them." And you get used to them. And no two sets of headphones are the same. Even if they're the same brand, Jess, there's a little difference and you get used to it. I'm wearing another set of headphones tonight and I hate it. They don't sound the same, but also I'm wearing somebody else's ear germs. And I've had the Glen 20, these things. I've wiped them out, but I'm not happy. It's like wearing somebody else's undies. It's just not right. Are you with me?
Undies. You cannot compare that to
you
undies.
You can.
No. Undies is much more intimate.
The person that wore these headphones before me could have had chronic tinea of the earlobe, and I am now susceptible. And I'm not happy about it.
But you also share a desk, you share a keyboard, chairs, desk in there.
Do you know what I do? When I go to toilets, I open the doors with my elbows or I pull the sleeve of my skivvy down on my hand. When I cross the road, I push the button with my elbow. Do you do that?
No, that's a lot.
I saw once on a current affair, that magnificent trophy show of current affairs and great news stories, they did one of the germs you can't see episodes, you know, hidden germs. And apparently the amount of germs on the black rubber handrail on an escalator is not to be believed. And ever since I saw that show, I never touched the rubber handle on the escalator.
Yeah, I never touch. Well, I tend to avoid to touch things if I don't have to. I'm the same. I avoid the escalator. I do hit the cross the street thing with my
elbow,
yeah. Or with my jumper over my hand, you know, the sleeve.
Yeah,
I don't know.
How many people that use public toilets don't wash their hands before leaving? You think about those hands on the door.
But also, it does build your immune system. Makes you stronger, doesn't it?
Anyway, I'm not happy. I'm out of sorts this morning, folks. I'm going to need counselling. Sydney, 20 degrees today and sunny. Brisbane, 23 and sunny. Townsville, 25 and sunny. Adelaide, mostly sunny and 17. Possibly a morning shower in Melbourne today, 16. Hobart, 13. Early showers. And Perth, 19 degrees, showers, and possibly a storm developing. So that's a quick snapshot of what's going on around the place. 133353, let's talk. G'day, Dale.
G'day, Luke. How are you going?
Well, I'm a bit up and down, mate.
I'm sorry for your loss.
Yeah, my headphones. 30 years.
That's a long time.
It is, Dale. It is. Anyway, Dale, talk to me.
I was just reading about the drinks.
Yeah.
I think that the UK is spot on in what they're doing.
Yep.
You were saying before that their parents not able to look after their children.
Well, apparently not. That's why you need governments to introduce these laws, because we are incompetent.
But I think you've got to look at it more of a public education program. It's like smoking.
Mm.
I mean, for a long time we accepted cigarettes that, you know, there was nothing wrong with them, and it's taken a hell of a long time for the general population to realise that it wasn't right.
Okay, so if we're so concerned for people's health, so concerned that we have to legislate because we can't look after ourselves, how the hell is it possible for Coca-Cola to be still sold?
I have no idea. And this is where we have all these healthy food labels and everything else, but no one is actually out there looking at these sugars.
Mm.
We've got like iced coffees, for example, 10 teaspoons of sugar in an iced coffee.
Well, these are the ones you buy at the servo in the plastic container.
So
yeah.
Do you think that if maybe that was put on the label, it might be a little bit more obvious to the people drinking it? Would you sit down and have 10 teaspoons of sugar in your glass of water?
Okay, they've got the really graphic photos and messages on cigarette packets, right?
Yeah.
Should they put on Coke and these high sugary drinks in big labelling 10 teaspoons of sugar in this drink?
Yeah, well, they won't do it because the problem is these big companies are funding nutritional surveys and...
Oh, well, hang on. It doesn't get much bigger than the cigarette companies and, you know, they've had to take a massive hit.
But the sugar industry is following in the cigarette companies' footsteps behind them, you know. We've got a doctor in Australia, Dr. Gary Fetke. Have you heard of him?
Dr. Gary...
Fetke, his name is.
Yeah.
Now, he is an orthopaedic surgeon from Tasmania. And he's been promoting a diet for patients that is low in sugar.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the Nutritionist Association took a dim view of that, and he's been fighting for, I think, 5 years to not be silenced by them because he doesn't have, apparently, the necessary skills to advise on a dietary thing because he's only an orthopaedic surgeon.
Mm.
There's a doctor in South Africa, been through the same thing. His name's Dr. Tim Noakes. And these people are finally getting a vindication. So Gary Fetke, he has been cleared now of all of his wrongdoing for suggesting that we shouldn't eat too much sugar. I mean, the industry's huge, but it's going to take time to change it. And if the UK is going to... Look, I think that banning it, I don't think that's going to work so well anyway, but if it brings it to the forefront of public interest, then we might be getting somewhere.
All right, let's talk about it. Do we need governments to ban things because we just are too stupid? That's what they're doing in the UK. They're banning sugar drinks for kids 16 years and under. And do you think it will follow through here? Should we follow it through here because we just are incompetent? Dale, thanks for your call. Where are you?
It's addictive behaviour.
Yeah. Dale, whereabouts are you?
I'm in Cairns.
How's Cairns today?
It's actually a bit chilly.
What do you do in Cairns?
I work at the airport.
Good on you, mate. I've been to your airport.
Yes, it's 15 degrees up here this evening, and we're not used to that.
Yeah, you poor old things. You'll have to go and put the UGG boots on.
Yeah.
All right, Dale, thanks for your call. 133353 is the telephone number. Let's talk. This is the Night Shift. Yes, so earlier in the week, we talked about New Start and the pressure being put on the Treasurer, Josh Frydenberg, to lift New Start, increase it by $75 a week. Barnaby Joyce has stepped in. He believes that people 50 and over do need extra help. How difficult is it to get back into the workforce once you've left when you reach the age of 40 plus? If you've done it, I'd love to hear from you. What did you do? 133353 is the phone number. Gavin's online. G'day, Gav.
G'day, Cobb. How are you going?
Yeah, very good, Gavin. Where are you?
I'm in the Southern Highlands, New South Wales, mate.
Okay, what are we talking about?
We're talking... I don't want to give away too much if you want to know too much, but we're talking past Pheasant's Nest.
Talking what?
Past Pheasant's Nest towards the barrel.
I didn't understand what you just said.
Oh, well, let's just say I'm at barrel.
I beg your pardon?
Barrel. Can you B-O-W-R-A-L?
Jess, do you know what this guy's talking about? Are you in Bowral?
Yes, mate.
Yes, you said Southern Highlands, New South Wales, and then I thought, okay, that's sufficient. Off you go. Gavin, now Bowral, right. Now I'm with you. What did you want to say, Gavin?
I just wanted to say I left the workforce at 40 plus.
Yeah?
And
what, you were sacked?
I was terminated due to unforeseen circumstances, more or less breach of code of conduct in a government position.
What did you do?
I don't want to go into that, but I can tell you I was sacked with no references, and in the 2 years since, I've more or less could take on another job weekly if I wanted to. So there is a lot of work out there.
Is there? Right. Are you working now?
Yes, I am. I've gone from one government department to another. I work for Justice Department now.
Right. So you were sacked. Something happened. You don't want to go into it. You were sacked with no references. Something serious went down. But you reckon you had no trouble finding another job?
Culture of local council, more or less. I worked there for 14 years. The union has a lot to do with local council. I wasn't a union member, and more or less, as I said, I don't want to go into any more of that, but left with no references and went straight to another government department. And in the meantime, could more or less, I could say I've knocked back 4 jobs.
Okay, so what's your advice for someone who's out of work at the age of 40 plus?
More or less, look forward, have a goal, and don't give up. I can't say anything else because I didn't fail, but yeah. And I can also talk about bids and collecting if you'd like to.
What have you got?
I can also talk about bids and collecting if you'd like to.
Bids and collecting. You got 2 more topics.
Well, you were talking about them. I've been on the line waiting for you for half an hour, so...
Yeah? What do you want your money back?
Well, I know you nearly had to bleep me out then, but no. I'd just like to say, bids, you were talking about bids. Like I can say as a 46-year-old male...
This is fascinating, Jess. Thank you so much for this.
...on your chin. Chicks love it.
Yeah, great.
Especially when it's a bit grey.
Yeah.
And collecting. Collect anything off Gumtree that's cheap that I can do up and more or less make a bit of cash off on the side. Because I left work at, as I said, some council.
This is brilliant stuff, Jess.
Yeah.
Yeah, good on you, Gavin. Thanks for that. Brilliant stuff. Appreciate it. 133353 is the telephone number. Jesus. Chris, g'day.
G'day, Lukey. It's all right, mate. At least you know who this one is.
Oh, God.
It's your Bathurst correspondent.
Oh, Bathurst correspondent from Melbourne.
That's it, mate. That's it.
How you been, all right?
I've been well, actually. I've got some news to share, actually.
Oh, okay.
My missus is 23 and a half weeks pregnant.
Hey! Now, how the hell did that happen?
Oh, I don't know. I've been working a lot.
You've been away. You've been away a lot. It's a funny one, that one. No.
You know me. I'm local in Melbourne for my work.
No, I know.
Driving.
Do the maths for me. How many weeks is she?
23 and a half. So I know exactly when we're talking, mate. We're talking a Valentine's baby.
What's that? When?
The week just after Valentine's Day.
Yeah, I don't know when that is. Valentine's Day holds no interest to me whatsoever. What's the date?
Well, we're talking roughly around the 20th of Feb, it would have been. So, due on the 12th of November.
That's what I'm... Okay. So, you know when the baby was conceived?
Yes.
Yes.
I thought that's what you were playing at.
No, I'm saying... I want to know when she's due.
Oh, no, 12th of November.
12th of November. So, all right.
Splitting our birthdays in half, because she's late October and I'm late November, so yeah. We're making it a very busy time of the year for us.
Okay. Well, look, is this your first?
It is.
All right. Folks, this is a very, very nice bloke who goes to Bathurst for every Bathurst 1000 and camps up there with thousands of people. Are you going to take your wife to Bathurst?
No. And she knows I'm going and she knows she goes into labour, I'm staying up there.
Really?
Oh, come on, mate. As if I'd do that to her. Nah. But speaking of Bathurst, the formal hand of extension of invitation is now open to yourself, Jess and Patty, if you want to turn up.
Yeah.
We
were talking about it. I don't know if... I'll have to see what my work schedule is. I could probably do... No, they've got new owners now. They won't let me in. I was about to say, I could probably do the show from the Bathurst Studios. Mind you, I'm still on
air. That's what we're thinking, yeah.
I am actually still on air on B-Rock FM in Bathurst, 99.3, the Rock of the West. I'm still on B-Rock FM, so maybe I could do the show from their studios.
I reckon we could work something out like that. That'd be great.
Anyway, we'll have a look. We've got a little way to go. Well, actually, it'll come up quicker than we think.
Oh, you're not wrong. Yeah. We're less than 100 days out now.
Oh, really? All right.
Yep.
Well, Chris, that is great news. Do you know if it's a boy or a girl yet?
I can't say yet, mate. We're going to do the whole gender reveal party. So just in case anyone's listening, not going to give it up.
So you do know?
We do know.
Did you want to know?
Yes, I did. We both did, actually.
What? Yeah, why?
Well, for starters, for buying things, it makes it a lot easier, especially for a baby shower.
Ah, no. See, now you're pushing gender priorities on your baby. It shouldn't matter what the colour is.
Not necessarily. Not necessarily.
Mm. You're stereotyping. you tell me why it makes it easier to buy, if you know.
Oh, mate, you're putting me on the spot at nearly 1 in the morning after I've been up since 9 o'clock driving trams. No, that's not going
to
work.
Yeah, you see, because you want to know whether to buy blue or pink, and that's stereotyping. You can't do that in this day and age.
Well, no, it's funny because, you know, pink's actually a power colour and not actually a girl's colour as such.
Really?
Yes, and blue is actually a girl's colour.
Really?
Yep. Have a look. Do a bit of Googling around on that, and you'll see I'm dead on my money there.
Really?
Yep.
Okay. I didn't know. I thought pink was girls and blue were boys.
For ages, I did as well, and then someone proved it to me, and I'm like, well, okay, there you go. I agree.
Well, in this day and age, it's politically incorrect to gender. What is it called, Jess?
Well, you don't have to gender stereotype. It's a bit lame, isn't it?
So why would you want to find out if it's a boy or a girl?
I don't understand why people do that. That's just me. I think, I don't know. I guess maybe it brings people excitement, but what, you're going to be disappointed if it's a boy?
Well, Chris knows.
And you were hoping for a girl. What, are you going to burst into tears? The reaction's always the same. Is a healthy baby not enough?
Chris has found out the sex of his baby, which is due when? November.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to have a gender awareness party.
Gender reveal, mate, not gender awareness.
Gender reveal. They're having a gender reveal party, Jess. Is that politically correct?
Everyone does it these days.
There'll be someone who's going to get offended. Someone out there.
Probably none of my friends. Or hers.
Chris, in all honesty, congratulations.
Thank you.
It's a wonderful adventure you're going on. I might open the phone. Stay listening. Experienced parents out there, 133353, what advice, just one piece of advice, what advice have you got for Chris and his wife about to experience their first child? Give us a call, 133353. Let's see what happens, Chris.
Yep, I'll be around for probably about another 20 minutes at least.
Okay, now you wanted to say something about beards.
Yeah, so at the moment I'm sporting quite a healthy beard, and I'm a lazy beard grower, so not a fan of shaving as such. So my theory is once I'm eating more hair than food, time to shave.
Oh, jeez. And isn't it funny? Because you sound, over the phone, you sound a clean-shaven Chris. You don't sound like a beardy Chris.
Oh, give me about 3 days, I'll be a clean-shaven Chris again.
Oh, you're going to cut it all off, are you?
Yeah, it's gotten to that point.
All right. Well, Chris, congratulations. Wonderful, wonderful news. Keep us posted. And when's this gender reveal party?
No dates decided yet. But if you want me to call back and let you know, boy or girl, I'm happy to do that.
Okay. Now, at a gender reveal party, do you hold these parties because you expect presents?
No. The gender reveal party is not really about presents. It's more about just another excuse to get together with your friends that you know you'll never see after you have a child. No, I'm just kidding.
In a lot of cases, it's true. Once you become a parent, your whole lifestyle changes and relationships are often affected. Trust me.
Pretty lucky with that because my two best mates that I've been mates with for about two decades this year, one of them is due in September on the 13th, the 11th. Our other friends are due on October on the 12th, and then us November on the 12th.
Hmm.
So we're starting the new generation.
Well, that's the new mother's club, father's club, and that's good. But yeah, what normally happens is when your child grows and then maybe goes off to childcare and then school, you tend to associate with the parents of your children's friends, and a whole new set of relationships usually opens because you have so much in common.
Yeah.
Yeah, how much sleep did you get last night is the number one question. Whoever came up with the saying, sleeps like a baby, never had a baby. But it's all in front of you. Chris, you're going to be great. Thanks for your call, buddy.
No problem, mate.
Talk again soon. Congratulations. This is The Night Shift. on Triple M. It is the 19th of July. Good to have your company, 133353. My name's Luke Boner. That is Miss Jess out there. Kyle, good morning.
How you going, mate? All right?
Good, thank you, Kyle. Where are you?
Oh, I'm in Brisbane, mate. I've spoken to you before.
Have you? What do you do, mate?
I'm a concreter.
Yeah, and you're up.
Well, I told you last time because I've had Achilles tendon surgery, so hey, I can do whatever I like till November.
Right. Yeah. Now it's coming back to me. You okay?
Yeah. All good, mate. Yeah, it's survived, mate. It's getting better. So I'll start physio in a couple of weeks. So.
Achilles. Did the Achilles tendon snap?
No, it wasn't a rupture, mate. It was degeneration. So it was basically like mashed potatoes, like from the heel up.
About
7 mil. So what they did was replaced. They took because everyone's large toe has got like above the top of your foot has got two large tendons.
Right.
So what they did was they took one out and then replaced the degenerative tendon from my heel bone about 75 mil up to my Achilles tendon and replaced it with that part of my toe. Because the human body can live with just one tendon in their big toe.
Yeah. So God gave us all these spares. He gave us two kidneys.
Yeah, allegedly.
we've got it's amazing what they can do. A very good mate of mine, one of my best mates, he lives in Cairns. Yep. He's a massive South Sydney supporter. For those people who don't follow rugby league, it's a foundation rugby league side in Sydney. Anyway, he was on the couch and he was watching Souths and they scored a try and he's jumped up, you know, yes!
And he's heard a big pop.
Heard a massive pop. Next thing you know, his calf muscle is up under his knee.
He has a rupture.
And he said it's the worst pain he's ever felt.
Yeah.
He had surgery and he had to wear the moon boot for ages. But
I'm still in my moon boot.
Yeah, well, isn't it scary that you can rupture your Achilles just by jumping up when South scores a try?
Because what they reckon, the most people that usually get them, like from males over 40 years of age, like they'll get people like, oh, and their girlfriend goes, oh, come and play mixed netball with us. And they go, yeah, right. And all of a sudden he jumps up and goes, bang.
Mm.
And things like over 40, like males are prone to it over 40 years of age. Well, mine was degenerative though. So basically from my heel bone upwards, about 75 mil up from my heel bone was like what they call like degenerative.
Mm.
It was like basically shredded.
Well, I play basketball every Sunday, and I got to tell you, I get there about half an hour early, and you should see us all. We're all standing with our hands on the wall stretching. It must look very, very funny. We stretch for ages and ages because that's the last thing in the world I want.
Oh, mate, I'm a concreter by trade. I've been a concreter for like 23 years, a structural landscaper 4 years before that. So I've been in the construction game for like nearly 26 years, basically.
Yeah.
I stretch before work and all that sort of stuff, but because mine was degenerative, it wasn't not from like doing stretching and all that sort of stuff. It was like what they called repetitive movements on that one area. And the surgeon actually said to me, he goes, oh, have a look at your other heel. I said, yeah. He goes, mate, that's brilliant. There's nothing wrong with that. This is that one side. It's that one foot.
Well, look, you take care of yourself and you take it easy when you go back to work.
Thanks, mate. Can I talk about that Red Bull stuff, bud?
Yes, please. Go on.
Mate, I'm telling you right now, mate. You know what? I don't drink a lot of coffee or anything like that.
Mm.
I drink a lot of water. When I drink Gatorade, I cut it down with half water, so it's not so sugary for me. But I've never needed a Red Bull or a V drink in my life to go to work. I'll tell you right now, I'll give you an example, mate. Right? Mm-hmm. I go to work, I haven't for a while because of my injury, but I'll go back. And when I go to service stations, I fill my ute up with my ute. And I see these young tradies come out and they got the before pack of Red Bulls or V drinks and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
And even in jobs, I say, what do you drink that stuff for? And they go, well, just keep me going all day. I said, mate, I'm 46 this year.
Mm.
I said, mate, I've been in the construction game since I was 20. I said, I've never needed anyone to keep working. I said, I work because I like my job. And I don't, and I energize because I enjoy going to work and wake up in the morning. I said, I don't need that crap.
Yeah.
Why do you need that? Why do you need to drink that stuff for it? And they go, oh, it keeps me going all day.
Well, I've never, ever, ever had an energy drink, and I'm never, ever going to, right? It doesn't interest me. But I never really was a coffee drinker either until I met Jess. And Jess makes this magic creamy sort of coffee. And I've got to tell you, she gets me a coffee at 3 o'clock in the morning every day, and it makes a massive difference. But I also really enjoy the taste. What is the coffee? It's a good brand, obviously.
Yeah, it's a good brand. It's a recyclable brand. It breaks down as fast as an orange, the packaging, because you know how there's been a lot of drama with the aluminium seals on them?
Mm.
And it's just some soy milk, Luke, but, you know, it's an espresso. It's not really me.
It's very good, but here's the thing, Kyle. It gives me a boost.
Hey, look, my brother took me to a restaurant. I've been 3 weeks after my surgery.
Mm.
And I went there, like, and I was on the knee roller. You know, you put your knee on the roller and you can actually use like a scooter.
Yeah, yeah.
Mate bearing. And he took me to a restaurant called Degani's at Callum Vale there in Brisbane. And it was a beautiful restaurant. They took me there for breakfast and had this coffee. And the majority of it was a cappuccino, and it was like had the milk in it, like a little milk, and it was beautiful. You know what I mean? But look, I don't drink a lot of coffee, but I had that. If I drank that every day, I'd get addicted to it. So I'm happy to have that now and then. You know what I mean?
Well, I have one at 3 o'clock, and if we're busy, sometimes Jess forgets, and I forget. Like I don't hang out for it, but I did ask for one the other day. I was very, very tired, and I tell you what, shoo. I can see why people have it at first thing in the morning. I can honestly say I was never ever a coffee drinker. I like tea. I was a tea drinker.
Can I say another thing, mate?
Yeah, mate.
What I want to say is like these young blokes who, because I'm a tradesman, right? I've been in the construction industry for like 26 years. Are the young blokes that come into those surveys, young apprentices in their utes and all that sort of stuff, and they do all that sort of shit. You know, I say to them, oh, what do you need to drink that for? Oh, it keeps me going all day. Well, mate, you mustn't care about your trade that much. If you cared about your trade, you wouldn't need to drink that crap. You stay alert naturally.
Some people do need some help, though. Anyway, Kyle, I hope you get better soon, and I hope you're back until soon. And when you do go back, you take it a bit easy, okay?
Yeah, happy day, mate.
Good on you, Kyle. Thanks for your call. Where are we? By the way, if you are trying to get through, have a go now. Some people have left because Simon and Adam have left, but there's plenty more to talk about. Let's continue the conversation. G'day, Natalie. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, Luke. How are you doing tonight?
I'm good. Are you okay?
I'm doing okay, actually. just that I usually only get to listen to you guys for a short time. It's driving to work. I'm a jockey. So we get a short luxury moment when we listen to on the radio, but my partner and I listen to you guys and love your work. But I'm calling because my son was involved in the fatal single vehicle car accident that was at Rockhampton on Monday afternoon. And
no.
I'm currently in Brisbane with him. He's in ICU, still on life support, and he's had massive, massive brain injuries.
We were looking at this. This is, I was reading about it in the Courier Mail. What's today, Friday? This is, I think we were reading about it on the 16th. And it said, teen killed, another fights for life after a car completely has been destroyed in Rockhampton. A teenage boy has died and another is fighting for his life after a horror crash that left the vehicle completely destroyed after it smashed into a tree. This was your son.
My son.
Your son was the driver?
Yes, he was.
And your son has survived but is fighting for his life. I'm so sorry.
Thanks, Luke. It means a lot. He's just give you a brief. My son is an amazing human being. He's had his own challenges. He's actually a very complicated boy. He has Asperger's. He's high functioning. ADHD. He's had all sorts of problems with an eating disorder, but he is just one of those people that affects everyone he meets. No one, you can't meet him once and not remember him. He has impact on people. Mm. I've been overwhelmed with the support from everybody, being part of the horse racing community. And just messages and thoughts and well wishes for him, because he's grown up obviously in racing with me and everyone knows him and everyone loves him. And I'm actually feeling really positive and I have a lot of faith in him and the way his mind is that he's going to get through this. Although the doctors are being conservative, of course they prepare you for the worst. And they've given me, you know, he might not wake up and then he will be permanently affected and he could be very badly impaired. But
well, his passenger died.
Yeah, instantly.
Was how did the accident happen? Was speed involved or anything? I only know what I've read in the paper. It says that the car was driven by a 19-year-old male. That's your son?
Yes.
And was carrying a 16-year-old male in the front seat?
Yep.
And a 16-year-old female in the back?
The back, yeah. That was his girlfriend. She had angels on her back. She's come out with a fracture in her ankle.
Jeez. And what happened?
Yeah. We don't know. I was in touch with the forensic investigators last night and they're still looking into it. And just trying to piece together, because it's a single vehicle, it was a quiet country road. Apparently, the kids were doing a course at PCYC, a Get Set for Work course, and they'd finished that and they're just going for a drive, as kids do. And we don't know much more than that. But my son's done a lot of driving with me. As a jockey, I travel a lot to race meetings all over the state.
Mm-hmm.
And he's always been road tripping with me. And he's a very safe person. And being... having Asperger's, he's very black and white with the rules, and to the point where if I'm in the car and my phone goes off, he'll look at me and go, "Don't you dare!" You know, he's one of them. And those are the rules. He sticks to it. So it's really difficult to say. But he's also like a wildlife warrior. So we can't even rule out that there was an animal jumping across the road that he's tried to avoid and lost control of the vehicle. That they're looking at the car and trying to rule out or find out if there was any sort of mechanical failure or something like that. When I saw the images, because I came to Rockhampton with him on Monday night with the flying doctors, and I sort of missed a lot of the news stories straight up, but once I saw the vehicle and the photos and the images, like, that was sick. You know, it was screwed up like a piece of tin foil. We've set up a Facebook page for him to try and sort of centralise. So many people want to know how he's doing, so we've set that up to try and keep everything in one place, or the messages of support and people wanting updates for him. I think my family, they're trying to set up a GoFundMe page. Obviously, I can't work now because I'm here with him. One thing Hamish has been saying to me for a long time, because I'm battling through injuries I've sustained through race falls and such. He's like, "Mum, you need to stop riding. It's tearing you apart. It's no good. You need to stop riding." I'm like, "Yeah, okay, leave me alone. I love riding and I'll manage this." But we've joked and said, "Well, he's got what he wanted now. I've stopped riding." He didn't have to do this extreme to get that. But I don't want people, because the media have put out there and the stories have been covering it, they're investigating causes of the crash and speed might have been involved. Or, you know, I've had some negative comments saying, you know, he should have thought about this before. He's destroyed lives and things like that. If I know anything about my son, he would not have done anything to hurt anyone.
As soon as you hear of an accident like this and you read that it's a 19-year-old, we are so quick to jump to conclusions, Natalie, aren't we? We immediately think pee platter, we think speed, we think possibly alcohol, we think looking at phones. That's the immediate assumption, isn't it?
All those silly things that... And people don't know the story. They don't know the kids. They don't know what happened. I don't even know what happened. And his girlfriend, I speak with her every day, and she can't recall.
She can't recall. She doesn't know.
She can't recall. She doesn't know. So they're trying to piece together, and they cover the story and they put it out there, and then people fill in the gaps and always just in that it was idiocy or just them being idiots. But I don't believe that that's the case. And
well, you would hope not. You would certainly hope not. You're his mother, and a young boy has lost his life. And you're right; lives have been changed forever. look, at this point, all you say is, Natalie, you look after your boy and hopefully it'll all come out. But it doesn't matter what comes out, a teenager has been killed.
And that's it. And that's sadly, it. I didn't know the young boy. He was one of their friends from PCYC. And I've put it out there, my sympathy to his family, my heart goes to them. I couldn't imagine. When the police knocked on my door and said, you need to get to the hospital, it was just that instant sinking feeling. I couldn't imagine what it would have been like for them to get news that wasn't get to the hospital. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Look, Natalie, we're not going to judge here. We don't know what's happened. You need to look after your boy. And our thoughts go to the families of those, especially the family of the young man that was killed in the front passenger seat. And we'll stay in touch with you, Natalie. You stay brave.
Yeah, I'll put it out there if you guys could. His Facebook page is called Miracle for Hamish, and I've just called on everyone for positive energy and just because people are upset, and I've said no crying because it's not going to help him. And if I know anything about my son, he's got an amazing brain and he's going to fight his way through this. That is just all energy I need is for him is to be positive and just get him through it, back him all the way.
Okay.
And I know, I believe in him. At the end of it, I believe in him.
Mm.
It's going to be a long road, Luke. It's going to be a really long road.
Mm. All right. Listen, thank you so much for your call, Natalie. We'll stay in touch.
I appreciate that.
Can you just stay there? Jess needs to talk to you off air. What do? She's the mother of a boy involved in a fatal accident. He's survived, but he's in a terrible way. And his young passenger was killed. This was in Rockhampton early this week. What do you say? And we are very, very quick to jump to conclusions, aren't we? We don't know what has happened here. Only time will tell. 133353 is Miracle for Hamish on Facebook. She said Miracle for Hamish. This is The Night Shift on Triple M. As we zoom into another weekend, Chris, good morning.
Good morning, Luke. How are you?
Very well. Welcome along.
Thank you very much, mate. Look, I just want to sort of just talk about the moon landing stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you've got time for it. The last story is pretty heart-wrenching. Listen.
What do you say?
Mate, I wouldn't want to be in that position and God bless the child involved.
Yep. Terribly sad. Anyway.
Yeah. No, but listen, Stanley Kubrick, they reckoned, filmed that and he went into hiding. Because the CIA was after him after that.
I've heard
he never left
this.
His property for the rest of his life. He thought he was being chased.
Yeah, well, I've heard all of this. I haven't heard a conspiracy moon landing story that I haven't. Well, I think I've heard them all. And I choose to believe it all happened, okay?
Yeah, well, one more thing, though. Look, how come we can't, with the Hubble's technology, why can't we see the flag? And they've meant they've been planted for the real estate value.
Sorry?
So if the Americans sort of put the flag on the moon first, it means that they've claimed it like as real estate. How come we can't see it with Hubble? The Hubble telescope should be able to see the flag. But I can't find it anywhere myself.
Would the Hubble be able to zoom in on the flag?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, no, it can spot like a mile on your head, like on Earth.
See, we don't just need Google Earth; we need Google Moon. Zoom in on it.
Yeah, that'll prove everything once and for all. I think
those footprints would still be there, but there, other people have been to the moon since.
You'd think so, but honestly, I don't know how they pulled it off. It's been quite a feat, you know.
Oh, it was amazing.
And, I don't think. Well, back in '69, I just think. I think they staged it just to say that the real estate's ours, not the Russians.
So they planted the American flag. So does America own the moon now? It was was one giant leap for mankind.
Yeah, one giant leap for capitalism in the form of American real estate.
Well, is it officially American real estate now? It's got a hell of a view.
If they can prove that the flag's there, I guess so.
I don't know. Are you allowed to do that? I don't know. Anyway, thanks for your call, Chris. Appreciate it. Give us a call. 133353 is the telephone number. G'day, Jason.
G'day, how's it going?
Yeah, okay, Jase.
Hey, earlier this morning you said, I don't believe it was you. I think it was one of the other two, said that the mother's coming to 750s.
Sorry?
Yeah, the other two were saying this morning about the mothers that come in 750 mils, the energy drinks.
Oh, I've never heard of it. Mother, yes, what is it?
Oh, it's just another energy drink, different flavours. But mothers don't come in 750s. They only come in 500s and 300s. V's and Rockstars come in 750s as well. But if you actually read the warning label on the mothers, it says recommended not for children, pregnant or breastfeeding mothers, or people with coffee something. I just can't quite remember the other couple of words I've got in there. I drink mothers every day.
Yeah? I'm just looking it up now. I have seen it. I've just typed it in and I have seen the can. I never knew what it was. There it is.
Yeah, it's just another one of many energy drinks out in the market now.
Yeah, no, I've never tasted it. What does it taste like?
Ah, depends what you like.
Is it like Coke?
No, not really.
Mother is an energy drink marketed to Australians and New Zealanders by Monster Beverage Corporation, introduced in late 2006 after Coca-Cola's failed attempt to purchase Red Bull. It competes with the two leading energy drinks on the market, V and Red Bull. It's a $151 million industry just here in Australia. There you are.
Yes, and Coke's just brought out an energy drink by themselves too.
Mm. Well, there you are. Mother, it contains 9.46 milligrams of caffeine per fluid ounce, whatever the hell that means.
Yeah, my wife nags at me every day to stop drinking, but I still do.
Well, the UK, they're going to ban the sale of Red Bull and Monster and other high caffeine drinks. They're going to ban it from sale to children under the age of 16. Other countries, including Denmark and Norway, have already done this. And I wonder if Australia will follow.
Probably.
And if we're going to ban these drinks to kids 16 years and younger because it's bad for them, do we ban Coke? God, look at Coca-Cola and how much sugar's in it. Do we ban fast foods? Yeah. Do we need governments regulating over us on every single move we make? Well, apparently we do because we're not making the right decisions.
Oh, schools have started banning sugar drinks now.
Yes. That's right. But what about fruit juice? I mean, fruit juice, orange juice. Look at all the sugar in that.
Well, look at water then. You buy water off a shelf. Would you go to the sink, grab a glass of water, leave it on your bench for a week and then come back and drink it? But everybody goes to the service station, supermarkets and buy bottled water.
I don't. I think it's one of the biggest rorts of our time, bottled water. I do have a bottle in the car, but I fill it up from the tap at home. And we've also got filtered and refrigerated water that comes out of our fridge. And I refill the bottle.
Yeah, I do the same. It's dearer than petrol for a 500ml bottle.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. It is ridiculous. Jason, thanks for your call. 133353 if you want to get through.